thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally. Here, my boy Will T. Ray is out. What's good, Will T., man?
Nothing much, man. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. We just had a good little story on, you know, during, before the show started, about me going to my alma mater's homecoming, UMES, University of Maryland, Eastern Shore. And, yeah, you know, I played in the alumni basketball game. We lost every game. We played two games. The thing that was kind of weird about it, though, was, like, on the flyer, it said, you're guaranteed two games.
Okay.
Right? So, when you think about a tournament, right, when something says you're guaranteed two games, what do you think?
I think that there's a, once you lose, you go to the loser's bracket.
Exactly. That's what you think.
And if you keep winning in the loser's bracket, you keep progressing to, I guess, would be the consolation championship game.
Or the championship game. Yeah, if you keep winning, right? You'll get to championship. Yeah, right? You play it out, you'll get to the championship game. If you keep winning in the loser's bracket. Let me paint the picture to you. I lost both games. We lost the first game.
Uh-huh.
Another team lost us. They lost their game.
Uh-huh.
The two losers played, and those are two guaranteed. Those are two guaranteed games. And the teams who won their first games played in the championship game.
Okay. Very poorly organized.
It was a little. I'm just saying. I love my school. I love, you know. I appreciate the set. I appreciate everything. But you know, anytime you do something for the first time. You know, there's a little, you know, there's some mistakes in play.
Well, knowing that, I think that next year you should volunteer to be on the organizational board for that particular alumni.
I would do that. And then the team I was on, I was playing with my brother. My brother balled out. I played okay, but he balled out though. I mean, I tell you, man, when you play with lazy people. People who gain weight over the years and can't run and get a rebound, that's a problem, bro.
I mean, but you have to understand, look, what most people are in their, mid-30s who are probably playing?
Yeah, that's fair.
So I think it's fair to say that most of them, their level of fitness or their level of enthusiasm for actually, you know, doing the small things that win to win a basketball game was non-existent.
Yeah, man. You know, I hear you, man. But yeah, big shout out to my man Ted from Philly, man. He was jaying it up. Ted, like, he lit us up. I'm not going to lie. Ted, he lit us up, though. But I know we were talking. We haven't done a show in a couple of weeks, but you saw the movie Black Panther.
Yes.
I saw it too as well.
Yes, we're in a post-Wakanda world.
We are, man. Yes. We are. You know what I mean? I like to think of myself as T'Challa. You're a Killmonger. I'm a thoroughbred.
What, am I militant?
No,
you're an imitation Nigerian, as I told you 2 weeks ago.
I know.
You're an imitation Nigerian.
Look, man, what did you say in the text, man? What did you say in the text?
No, I said my African, which the text you're referring to is I text you earlier today about
The show. Yeah, exactly.
And you text me back. You said,
I was just
about to text you. And I jokingly said, my African features detected that you were about to text
me. Wakanda, man. Welcome to Wakanda, man.
Shut up. Hey, let's get into our tradition of pregame.
Here are our topics. The play of the Washington Wizards and their upcoming tough schedule. At 8:20, we'll discuss the Washington Redskins wide receiver needs. At 8:30, we'll talk with Ed Frankovic, Washington Capitals insider for WNST, about the Caps. Yeah, man, I'm telling you, big things popping, man. Caps, man. Go Caps, go. At 8:40, we're going to talk Washington Nationals. Their spring training has started for the Washington Nationals. And finally, at 8:50, we'll talk about the troubles of the NCAA college basketball.
Well, it's no FBI. Troubles. It's corruption.
It's corruption.
It is systemic corruption.
The FBI, they have better things to do.
True, but to me, I want to know I believe it's the Southern District of New York. Mm-hmm. What made them want to investigate the happenings of NCAA basketball?
It was that one snitch. It was that one snitch because they called him. He got caught. I mean, I'm paraphrasing it, but my memory serves me correctly.
Yeah, I know about the whole Adidas thing.
Yeah, and, that's what started the whole thing, basically.
Yeah, but I'm just curious to know.
Oh,
like I understand now.
Why are they going ham?
Yes.
Oh, you know, it's the sexy thing right now, man. It's like, it's news, put it like this. It's very newsworthy.
Well, I'll say this. I know that, I'm not going to say I know, but I'm pretty sure that those NCAA tournament ratings are going to go through the roof.
I think so, too. Yeah. You know, we all know how chaos brings ratings. Anyway, during this stretch of games, excuse me, without John Wall, the Wizards are, I believe, 9-3. They beat a good Sixers team Sunday. Did you catch that game?
Absolutely did.
Yeah, man. Embiid is the truth.
Like, Embiid, it's totally different. We've seen the 1.0 evolution of the next generation of big man with Embiid.
Yeah.
Him and Karl Anthony Towns.
I agree. And you got put Boogie Cousins, right?
No, I think Embiid, his ability to handle the ball, mm-hmm. guys like him, Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Davis, and Porzingis, mm-hmm. their ball handling abilities, their ability to face up from three and post up on the block. It's just something we haven't seen. You know, of course we saw Durant, who's 7-footer with a jump shot like a guard.
And first step like a point guard.
Basically. Yeah, but these are guys who you think of their game is back to the basket, and they can take you out 27 feet. It's amazing to see the evolution of the big man.
It really is. Anyway, and they're playing the Bucks tonight. And they have the Golden State Warriors Wednesday, and then they have the Toronto Raptors on Friday. How do you think the Wizards will play? How do you think the Wizards will play during that stretch?
First of all, I'm excited because we just turned on the game.
Yeah.
It's going to be on TNT, but you know why I'm really excited? Because Chris Webber is not calling the game. He's on the players only pregame, so that means it will be an enjoyable game to listen to and watch once we're done with the show and I'm able to listen to the game. But back to your question, I think that it's going to be interesting. You know, Milwaukee Bucks, a mm-hmm. Team that's at full with Jabari Parker's back at full mm-hmm. strength. Even though I know they're trying to integrate him in back into the lineup. With that team, and this Wizards team without John Wall, mm-hmm. I think the Wizards. I don't think the Wizards are going to win this game. Yeah. And I think more on also along with that, I think that you'll see people kind of quiet the silly notion that this team is better off without John Wall.
Yes, but all right. So to the point, then how come this team is playing better playing well without John Wall? I'm gonna say playing better. How they're playing well without John Wall? How come?
Well, one, I'm not gonna say it's a different offense, but offensively, guys are far more active.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't. They're making the extra pass. Guys are making
extra
passes. Oh,
man, George has tweeted you, man.
What did George just say? Needs to learn to love the mute button. Off the rocket.
What's up, George? Man, appreciate you, my man.
Appreciate you, George. I mean, you know, I think it's kind of the mute button that takes away a little bit of it. I mean, especially if Hubie Brown is calling the game on ESPN. But yeah. I digress. They're playing. Guys are not standing around as much offensively. The ball is moving, free-flowing offensively. And then also, John Wall makes a lot of jump passes or when he comes off a pick and roll.
Turnovers.
And it leads to turnovers. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if the turnovers has gone down, but from just remember from what I see,
mm-hmm.
I think they aren't turning the ball over as much. And, you know, the statistics could say that I'm wrong, but I think they're just getting better ball movement and guys are taking the onus on themselves to step up more without John Wall.
I agree to this point when you're saying that, you know, guys are doing a lot more. They're playing at a higher level. To me, you know, this is the funny thing about it. Like, people want to blame, they want to blame John Wall in this instance. But when you look at, say, Scott Brooks, I think he's not being talked about enough throughout this situation. We've seen Scott Brooks in OKC, right?
Uh-huh.
And they were similar in terms of not moving the ball around. Two guys dominating the ball, and Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, right? You look at now in Washington, when John Wall was healthy, you had John Wall, Bradley Beal, two guys who dominated the ball. It wasn't just John Wall dominating the ball. Bradley Beal was dominating the ball as well because he just, you know, he improved on his dribbling. So you saw him do a lot of pick and roll ISO plays and whatnot. So two individuals are now doing ISO plays. You're not getting that ball movement. Now I feel that since John Wall has gone down, Scott Brooks knows, he knew, excuse me, that you can't win They can't beat these teams with just Bradley Beal going ISO. Because he doesn't have the depth that John Wall has in terms of getting everybody involved, even if he is playing ISO.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that is that Scott Brooks coaches or calls a game two totally different ways when he doesn't have a ball dominant point guard like he had with OKC with Westbrook
and John Wall.
Washington with John Wall?
Yeah.
Do you think he calls the game differently?
I believe so. Because I have to look at it that way because what he's had in OKC and he's had in Washington. Okay. He is the head coach.
Okay, so I think that's more of an indictment on Scott Brooks than anything. Yeah. That lets me know that you aren't coaching your point guard as hard as you maybe need to. You aren't taking him aside and saying, look, you know, the ball isn't moving. You know, he isn't talking him or coaching him up during those down periods on the bench or during the timeouts or at halftime or in practice.
Yeah, because if you look at – if you even think about it this way, if you see – if you can – think about, like, when Bradley Beal wasn't – his handles wasn't as good as it is now, right? His handles has improved, right? We both can say his handles
absolutely
totally improved, right? When John Wall was the ball-dominant individual, the ball was still moving. It was moving because he was the only guy – pretty much creating for himself and others. You know what I mean? He created for Bradley Beal. You know what I mean? He created for Otto Porter. The ball, he created for Markieff Morris. The ball was moving because John Wall was the dominant ball handler. Now you have two guys. So I think it makes it difficult for Scott Brooks to coach. I think since one has gone down or one isn't playing, I think now you're seeing Scott Brooks emphasize ball movement more, and you're seeing positive things happen for the Washington Wizards.
That's fair. I think that's a fair assessment. Also, another thing that we're seeing during this period while John Wall is out, you're seeing Otto Porter being far more aggressive offensively.
Mm-hmm.
Otto Porter is starting to do – he's doing something that you don't regularly see him do, which is create his own shot off the dribble.
He's dribbling now and shooting J's now, which I was very surprised. I'm not going to lie. As a guy who's watched Otto Porter in Georgetown – Some of his ball handling ability with the Wizards right now is surprising me. Like, he hit a behind the back. You saw yesterday during Sunday's game. I want to say I'm not sure who was on. I want to say it was Covington. He went behind the back and jayed him up. I was like, wow, Otto's doing that now. Like,
he's showing the growth and development of his game. But the problem is when John Wall comes back, will we see this from Otto?
And then it goes back to your point. Your coach has to rein John Wall in. Say, you know what? We're going to have to, like, move the ball, share the ball. These guys have to get touches. You know what I mean? Because, again, John Wall is a pass-first point guard. I think that's what we all have to understand. He's a pass-first point guard.
He's a pass-first, dominant point guard.
Yeah. But he gets his players involved. You're going to need a John Wall in the postseason if you're in the postseason.
Absolutely. With the East being as open as it is this year,
mm-hmm.
definitely need it.
Speaking of the current point guard, Tomas Satoransky, you know, how good has he been so far this season, man?
During the past 12 games, he's been great.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't received consistent minutes during the first part of the season, but during this 12 game stretch, he's been phenomenal. He's been something that Washington's been looking for and for a long time, which is a backup point guard that can relieve John Wall, and so John Wall doesn't have to play 37, 40 minutes per game. Also, they brought in Ramon Sessions.
Yeah.
Still
got Frazier. Frazier's been playing okay off the back as a backup point guard for him, too.
Brought in Ramon Sessions. If Ray was here, he laughed at me like a couple months ago when I said, you know, bringing in Ramon Sessions would be a go-to would be an answer. But
well, we'll see if he plays, man. I'm not the biggest Ramon Sessions.
I'm not a fan either. I'm not a huge fan, but if it comes to a guy who you need to, who can get you in your sets mm-hmm. and run your sets for you and execute your sets, he's not a bad option. Now, if you want him to create off the dribble for you, for himself and for others, that's when you're going to have problems.
Yeah, that's true. And when you're listening to Urban Sports, Sam Wiley, Will T. Ray's out. I mentioned the Wizards' next three opponents. If they go and beat all three teams, if they beat all three teams, what would you be thinking about the Wizards? Would you be thinking like, okay, man, this team may have an opportunity to come out the East without John
Wall? I would say they play good basketball. You know, three tough opponents: the Sixers, the including the Sixers. Yeah. You know, the Sixers, the Bucks, the Warriors, and the Raptors.
And then they got they got the Pacers after that too.
Yeah, so
it's decent. Yeah,
it's hard. So it's a tough stretch of the schedule. I'm not going to automatically say they're coming out of the East. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be a little bit far fetched, and we getting ahead of ourselves,
mm-hmm.
considering this is a team that hasn't
passed the second round.
Passed the second round, and who knows when.
So before we were even born.
Yeah. Then they currently occupy the
fourth seed. Yeah, like right behind Cleveland for the third. Right behind Cleveland.
So, you know, they can put themselves in a better position and try to solidify that third spot. So like I said during, you know, 2 weeks ago when we were at the Champs Gym. On our field trip, as I like to call it. Cleveland isn't coming out of the East. You heard it here first.
Okay, man. Look, who's coming out the East? Don't say the Raptors, man.
Boston.
I think the Wizards have a good chance if John Wall gets healthy. They think they have a chance. I think Cleveland is coming out the East, though, but I think the Wizards have a chance.
All right, we can have this discussion. I like to always hear people's perspective. Yeah. Why do you think Cleveland's coming out of the East?
Because I just think that, for me, I like the youth. I like Hood. I like Thompson. I think we get Love back, too. Love will come back healthy. We got to come to break soon, though. But when Love comes back healthy, I think it's going to put everything more in its place. I just like their team. I think their team defensively, what they were compared to last season, I think it's – I mean, sorry, this season, during that stretch, the team's just better than me.
Well, you made some very interesting points, but I'm going to come back. I'm going to retort with these 2 points. Why did LeBron leave Cleveland?
Oh, because it's a similar reason, no extra superstar. But right. Kevin Love is – you can say Kevin Love is that all-star.
No, he's not. Kevin Love is a star player. He's not an all-star player.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
One of the biggest reasons why LeBron left Cleveland the first time is he needed someone along with himself who can create a shot for himself and others.
Yeah.
You have absolutely no one else on this team that can do that
others.
For
create for
that
others.
Great for others.
I've heard
people say the silly notion that, they got Jordan Clarkson.
He'll create for others. He's a scorer.
Jordan Clarkson's a scorer, but will Jordan Clarkson consistently drop 20 points for you?
Oh, no.
I'm a
believer in Jordan Clarkson because he has a dog mentality. It's a difference. He has talent. He has a dog mentality. Now, you're telling me, to your point, what you're saying about creating for others. This is the issue. Jordan Clarkson ain't creating for others. He's creating for himself. He's a scorer off the bench, first and foremost. He is a scorer. He will get shots up. Like, that's all he cares about is getting shots up. Defensively, though, getting people involved. I like your point, and like, you know, obviously this team having Kyrie Irving, who's a guy that got people involved.
I'll even go this far, even though I won.
Don't say Toronto.
The biggest change in Cleveland since the trade acquisition has been LeBron James' willingness and desire to play harder.
Yeah, I know that's true.
I'll go on to say that even with Isaiah Thomas, who was clearly a shell of himself, Dwayne Wade, who was a shell of himself,
they were better.
I think in a 7-game series, I would have felt way more comfortable with those two guys on my side being able to create a shot for themselves and others and having that proven playoff experience than I would with this team right now.
Yeah, that's strong, man. That's strong words, man. But we got to go to break, Will T. We'll talk. Matter of fact, we'll have this discussion on our next show. I think that'd be a good one.
Okay.
We'll have Cleveland. And we need to bring back Go Hard or Paint. Haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, we haven't.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll bring that back.
I'll
bring that back, man. And the Redskins need a number one wide receiver. We'll talk about that at the break. You listen to Urban Sports Lane.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Two cups, toast up with the game, from food
All right, you're listening to the Urban Sports Team. Myself, Wally, Will T. Ray is out. Make sure you subscribe.
What else is new?
Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Team. Make sure you search. Make sure you rate us and leave us a comment. All right, the Washington Redskins need another playmaking wide receiver.
What else is new?
Who do you think this team should target? And the, you know, there's a bunch of free agent wide receivers out there.
I'm not going to lie to you and say that I've been keeping abreast of all the free agent wide receivers. I know that Jarvis Landry was a guy who was franchise tagged by the Miami Dolphins. There was, you know, there's a 6'5 guy who people says is a freak of nature who's going to be a free agent.
Who?
Terrell Pryor.
You know what? I'm the only, I guess, Redskin fan that is not object to that.
I don't look. Here's the thing.
Can I say this point?
Go ahead.
He had a good season in Cleveland. This is my thing. One bad year doesn't put out your whole career. You know what I mean? Like one bad season doesn't identify you as a bad player.
Yeah, I think all of us in life, if we were ever just judged on our bad deeds or a bad mishap, or you know, on a work performance, on one isolated bad. You know, or a bad year, or a bad couple months. None of us would be employed. None of us would have much job security. But Terrell, he has this going for him. What, he's 26, 27?
He's young.
He's very young. With Alex Smith in.
Yeah. It's got
maybe
speed.
He has speed. Maybe he can build a rapport with Alex Smith, a far more veteran quarterback.
There you go.
You bring in... I don't know what other guys are out there.
Allen Robinson. These are the top individuals out there. Allen Robinson. You got Marquise Lee. You have Paul Richardson from Seattle. You got Sammy Walker Jr.
Paul Richardson's an interesting guy because he's like 6'4". He has the height that you're looking for. Dante Moncrief's a guy who didn't have Andrew Luck. Yeah. When Andrew Luck was there, he had had decent numbers.
Eric Decker.
Pass.
Exactly. Albert Wilson, who played for the Chiefs.
Albert Wilson, I'm going to pass on
John
that
Brown,
one.
Who played for the who played for the Cardinals.
Speedster, that's something that you would definitely want to look into.
Kendall Wright from the Bears.
Pass.
Taylor Gabriel from the Falcons, Ray's Falcons.
He's one of those. I think you have a guy in Jameson Crowder who's similar, who can do some of the things that Taylor Gabriel can do. So I would pass on that one also.
George is saying there's a lot of talk about Albert Wilson for the Kansas City Chiefs.
There's a lot of talk about Albert Wilson.
Coming to D.C.?
I mean, Alex Smith will be comfortable with him. He has a rapport with him.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a possibility. A guy who I didn't give a comment who you named, Sammy Watkins Jr.
That's the one I want. I think he's
beating the ideal. He's young. He's like Terrell Pryor, right? He's young, hasn't lived up to his full
potential. His full potential yet. Yeah.
So he could be an interesting signing. But I know a lot, it's not going to be popular. If I was a Washington fan, at a reduced price, a Terrell Pryor.
He's going to be cheaper.
I'm not going to say he would be my one or he would be my two.
But you bring him back in.
But I would bring him back into the fold. Now, unless there's something that went on and within that locker room or within the organization and his connection with the coaches that they feel as if he's not salvageable. But I don't understand. I don't see why you wouldn't at least give him a chance if you can get him on the cheap.
This is my thing. Wizards are 14-0 against the Milwaukee Bucks. My thing about Terrell Pryor is that we saw him against the Skins a couple seasons ago, going against Josh Norman. Josh Norman at that was playing the quarterback position at a high level, and Terrell Pryor gave Josh Norman the business. That's not a bum. Let that be known. A bum does not give Josh Norman the business. All right. Josh Norman is not a sorry cornerback. He's one of the best cornerbacks in football.
He had an off year, what some people would say is an off
last year. But the year before last, he played at a high level.
Absolutely.
And Terrell Pryor gave him the business. That's one of the main reasons why they went out and signed Terrell Pryor. So when you could beat a guy like Josh Norman when healthy, that means you have talent. So I wouldn't ignore, like other fans, I wouldn't ignore the chance. The idea to re-sign a Terrell Pryor. Now, personally, I would take to Sammy Watkins Jr. because A, in L.A., he played a similar offense with Sean McVay, who was the offensive coordinator here in D.C. And with how Sean McVay used Sammy Watkins Jr. was the way that, you know, DeSean Jackson was used here. He was a guy that they went deep with, and he opened up everything up for Cooper Kupp and, sorry, the other wide receiver, his number 17 for the Rams.
Go. Huh? Not Marquise Goodwin. Robert Woods.
Robert Woods. Thank you. Robert Woods. So, I think you bring him here in this situation. You got Terrell. Now you have Dotson who can just run up the, Dotson who can run the intermediate routes. You have Sammy Watkins Jr. who can stretch it deep. And then you have, Jameson Crowder who struggled from the slot position without having DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, look. What you don't want to do is you don't want to put yourself in a position where you're drafting another wide receiver,
which is not
your Calvin Ridley from Alabama. Mm-hmm. Some people have told me that's a guy who's projected to go around that area for Washington.
Alabama wide receivers are good though.
They are, but I don't think you want to spend another first round draft pick on a wide receiver.
All right, on Facebook, my man Kevin Sample said Robinson, Allen Robinson. I mean, Allen Robinson is a stud. He's number one wide receiver. He's coming off an ACL injury, though.
Yeah, that would scare me.
That would, yeah. I mean, talented kid. My man Greg Lancaster says, depends on the price and how it affects the team's salary cap if they would get any wide receiver. I think they need a wide receiver. I don't think it's depending on the price. I think they need a wide receiver.
Yeah, you definitely need, or maybe there's a trade option that's out there that we haven't heard that maybe Washington explores.
That's true. And at on Twitter at DMV Sports 2015 says Paul Richardson. Richardson is fast. He's a fast
Paul
guy.
Paul Richardson is fast, tall, big receiver. Mm-hmm. Out of all the options you named, I think I like his upside.
You like Paul Richardson's upside?
Yeah.
He's a guy who can stretch the field, and they need a guy who can stretch the field. I mean, that's what this offense needs. But again, I mean, I'm all for this team going out and getting my man Sammy Watkins. I love him at Clemson. I think he's a physical wide receiver who's fast, and is a guy that you can run a screen pass, you can take it to the house because he's a guy that's hard to bring down. But anyway, Will T, it's about time to come to break. Up next, we'll have Ed Frankovic from WNXT to talk Caps. Listen to the Urban Sports Thing.
Break time for ages.
You dig?
Deuces. I got my DNA. Quarter piece got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though, ambition, flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, it's born like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, which yells you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head. This that puts the kids to bed. This that I got realness, I just kill shit. Cousins in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again, like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound, the engine, then it's like a bird. You see fireworks, a Corvette tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use it. Your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. All that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitched. Heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist. Burn on side a jellyfish I gauge. See my pedigree, most definitely don't tolerate the front. Shit I've been through probably offend you. This is Barla's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, burners, boosters, burgers, ballers, dead. Redemption, scholars, fathers, dead. With kids and I wish I was fed. Forgiveness, yeah. Soldier's DNA. Born inside the beast. My expertise checked out in sex. When I was 9, on sale hotel, we didn't have nowhere to stay. At 29, I've been so well, hit cartwheel in my estate. And I'm gon' shine like I'm supposed to. Antisocial, extrovert, and excellent mean an extrovert. And absentness, what the f*** you heard? And passiveness, never struck my nerve. And that's a riff from a penis case. The reason my power's here on earth.
Salute the truth and the prophecy.
I got loyalty, got royalty.
This is why I say that hip hop has done more damage to young African Americans than racism in recent years.
I live a better life. This is my heritage. All I'm inheriting money and power to make it emerge. Tell me something. You motherfuckers can't tell me nothing. I'd rather die than to listen to you. My DNA not for imitation.
Welcome back to Urban Sports Scene. You are listening to Urban Sports Scene with Wally, Ray, and myself, Will T. On the line, we have Ed Frankovich from WNST to talk.
Hold on, we got technical difficulties. Hold on. Oh, call me. Put Ed back on. I'm gonna call Ed back on.
Okay.
Yeah. Put him on.
Well, yeah. Well, we had Ed Frankovich from WNST to talk to Caps with us. Technical difficulties that Wally was alluded to was he had fat fingers and he hung up the phone on.
No, not actually. Not. That's not what happened.
What happened then?
I have to cue my the phone correctly. It's not what happened, bruh. I'm about to get Ed back on, like, now.
Okay, well, yeah, why you wait to bring on Ed? Because I can't wait, because this gives me a whole segment off, because I'm not going to lie to you all. Hockey just isn't my thing. You know, I'll watch it once in a while. I get excited like most people in the DMV come April, May, you know, just to get excited to see if the Capitals are able to make it past the Eastern Conference and into the Stanley Cup, which hasn't happened in a very long time around here.
Now we have Ed on.
Now we have Ed.
Hey, Ed, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How have you been? Long time no talk.
I know.
What's new?
Nothing much, you know. Obviously, you know, we're struggling after, you know, struggling after the Redskins season's over. Well, they did horrible anyway, so it doesn't even matter. But the Caps, you know, the Caps were surprising. That's the thing that was surprising to the season. A lot of people thought the Caps would be bad. According to Ovi said, they wouldn't suck. But a lot of people, a lot of pundits thought this team would struggle this season. And for most of the season, this team was number one in the Metropolitan Division.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw my blogs last summer, but I was in the Ovi camp. I thought they would be good, especially when I saw that first picture of Alex when he came to town last September or August, and you could tell he slimmed down, and he's in the best shape of his career. He's carried this team with 39 goals, 63 games, on pace for 50.
Yes.
I actually wrote last summer I thought the team would get between 100 and 105 points because I really felt like they were still strong up the middle. I felt like in net they were great with Holtby and Grubauer, and then it was going to be up to the young wingers, and they were going to play a couple rookies on D and how they would fit in. And now the back end is struggling a bit. Mm-hmm. They're in a tough part of the schedule right now, but it looks like they're going to end up right between 100 and 105. Pittsburgh made some moves at the deadline. I think they'll probably finish first, but the Flyers are right there. But as we know, finishing first doesn't really matter.
Yeah, and I had a question about that, about the defenseman. I heard a rumor about Mike Green. Is that ever a possibility of them bringing back Mike Green back to D.C.?
Yes, that was absolutely true.
Okay.
Mike actually waived his no-trade clause for two teams only.
Okay.
Tampa Bay and Washington. But what happened, Brian McClellan said the price that Detroit wanted for him was just too high. Detroit would have had to take on some of that salary, so they probably wanted a first-round pick.
Wow.
And the Capitals were unwilling to give up their first-round pick this year for Mike Green, so they felt like they would just go with their younger guys. They had made a couple depth moves last week.
Yeah, I saw that.
But that is definitely their weakness on their team, is that second pairing on defense. They really haven't found that fourth D. Mike Green would have slotted in well there. I think it would have helped, but the price was too high, so the Caps are going to roll the dice with what they have.
So, all right, so I guess I'm going to get to this question as well then. Capitals, like I mentioned before, for most of the season, they were like first place. Now they're second place. I believe the Philadelphia Flyers are in first place of the division. What has happened to this team? How come the team has slowed down a little bit of late?
Well, I think the biggest thing is in January they had a really crazy schedule where they had a lot of gaps. And the other thing that happens in the league on January 1st is it ramps up. Everybody starts putting their playoff push on. You start getting more physical hockey. You get more intense hockey. The Capitals were able to build a little cushion with rookies in the lineup the first half of the year. They played four rookies for most of the year, two on defense, and then Chandler Stephenson and Jacob Vrana up front.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to build a cushion. The league is not as intense that first 40 games. But then the tempo picked up, and that's where those younger D get exposed. Madison Bowie and Christian Hughes are going to be very good defensemen in this league. Mm-hmm. I like both of them. I think they're going to be good players for a long time to come. But when you're trying to win the Stanley Cup It's very difficult to do that with two rookies in your lineup. We saw the Capitals try that a couple of years ago with Dmitry Orlov and Nate Schmidt in 2016, and both were exposed. So the problem's a bit on the back end, but it's not all been the rookies. I mean, the rookies haven't played really well. They've had to struggle playing against this competition, but everybody on that blue line, from John Carlson to Matt Niskanen to Dmitry Orlov and Brooks Orpik, have really struggled in their own zone, and they just couldn't have that. Matt Niskanen suffered an injury early in the season, and he really hasn't gotten back to himself all year. Carlson's putting up a lot of points, but he makes lazy plays sometimes in his own zone. So the whole team, the forwards have not been good on breakouts. So I think the team defense is what they need to improve down the stretch if they want to do anything in the playoffs. If they don't improve the team defense, they'll be out in the first round. And I think that's a big problem right now for Braden Holtby, is the team defense has given up way too many chances, and he's lost a little bit of his confidence. Now, fortunately, Philip Grubauer's been able to step up and help the team get some wins, but the goaltending covered a lot of mistakes for this team for most of the year, and the mistakes are just so glaring right now. It's getting tough for the goalies to keep it together.
You're listening to Urban Sports. Right now we have Ed Frankovic from WNXT. So you got to my next point. So Holtby has been the guy. He's probably been one of the best, sorry, top five goalies in the NHL for over the last couple of seasons. Is he still this team's best goalie, and should this team consider to go to Grubauer as their starter?
I still think Holtby is their best goalie, and he's battle tested for the playoffs, but I do think they should platoon both of these guys down the stretch. I think Grubauer is playing well enough that Trotz should just try and find a rotation, and they have enough back-to-back games where they can get both of them an equal number of starts, and that'll allow Braden to be fresher in the playoffs. And if he can't refine his game, because Braden is struggling a bit right now. He won a lot of games for this team the first half of the year.
Agreed.
And then the defense got really loose, and it's been tough for him. He has had to face a lot of quality chances. There was a game against Chicago a couple weeks ago. He gave up a bad goal. They ended up getting blown out of the game 7-1. But Brooks Orpik makes a terrible decision to go cross ice at the defensive blue line, and he has to face a 2-on-0 from Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane, two of the best players in the league. They are three-time Stanley Cup winners. And Holtby stops the first shot, but the defense doesn't come back, and Kane has a layup for the rebound. Either Kane or Toews had a layup for the rebound. And that was kind of the start of Braden's spiral downwards there. Just a lot of quality chances, and then now he's fighting things. He's concerned about his defense. I see him doing some things like trying to look around screens that, going low, trying to get around screens, and that's costing him some goals. I hadn't seen him do that in the past. So, the team in front of him is not playing well, and that's what his confidence. And Grubauer's gotten a couple of the easier starts, if you will, against the Buffaloes, and been able to get a little bit of confidence going.
So Ed, before I let you go, how can folks get your content or even catch you on social media?
Yeah, at Ed Frankovic out on Twitter and on WNST.net. You can check out my blogs, and you can also listen to my radio bits I do with Nestor once a week. And as always, I'll always be happy to come on with you guys. I'm a big fan of you guys, and appreciate, I know how much you love all the D.C. area sports and Baltimore area sports, so it's always good chatting with you guys. But if you want to hit me up on social media, ask me a question, give me a comment, as long as it's not four-letter words in it or real snarky, I'll definitely get back to you. I like hearing people's opinion. I respect people's opinion, and I think open dialogue's good. So keep it clean, and you'll get a response.
Hey, Ed, I come to you for all of my Capitals information. I'm being dead honest with you. All of it.
Well, I always appreciate seeing the likes and the retweets from you guys, man. You guys are you're good men. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ed. We appreciate you. You have a great one, my man.
Yeah, you too. And we'll talk again maybe the playoffs, huh?
Oh, we definitely will.
We definitely will.
All right, take care, man.
Have you back on.
Thank you. All right, Ed, take it easy.
All the best, man. Take care.
Thank you. Take it. Again, that's Ed Frankovic from WNXT Network.
WNXT Network, our Urban Sports Scene's hockey aficionado.
Huh?
He's our hockey aficionado.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Ed is awesome. Ed knows his stuff.
You know what? Yeah. If I didn't know any better, I would actually think you knew what you were talking about.
I do. I told you back in the day, real talk. I'm being dead serious. I used to watch hockey. often. So, but I'm not as familiar with the guys that that I used to be familiar with. I watch hockey. I know some of the guys he's referring to. I know Mike Green because I was a big Mike Green fan. So, I know some stuff, bro.
That's how I know you fake Nigerian, because you're into hockey but not soccer.
Hey, yo, real talk. Go! All right, about to go to break. We get back from break. We're gonna talk boxing. It's Deontay Wilder. He's back, trying to be the undisputed champion. He's trying to. So you can set up a fight down the road with Anthony Joshua.
Yeah, just a huge night of boxing Saturday night in New York. Anyway, in general.
Yeah, you know, you listen to the Urban Sports thing
for ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
We're back and listen to Urban Sports. Saying myself, Wally, Will T, Rage out. I know,
as usual.
I know I said, during the pregame that we'll be talking Nats at this time, but sometimes you gotta change things up. Will T brought up a good topic.
We can talk Nats.
No, we got that next week. I'm actually Ryan Sullivan from Nats. GM.com will be joining us next week.
And he's our baseball aficionado.
He's our baseball national aficionado. And he's going to talk about the spring training in depth and better than us. So why like do that now when we're going to have him on the show next week? So
it works out. I can dig it.
All right. And also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you rate us and leave us a comment. But Will T, I'll let you, hold this down real quick.
No, I'm just saying Saturday is going to be a big night of boxing. You have one over in Sheffield, England. You have Kell Brook, who makes his return.
Oh, Kell Brook is back?
Yeah, he makes his return on Sky Sports and Sheffield. And he's potentially if he wins this fight and Amir Khan wins, then you're potentially looking at a big British fight, a big fight over across the pond in the fall or in December, the end of the year. Kell Brook versus Amir Khan. Like it it wouldn't be a huge fight here just
it's
because
a huge
of
fight
Amir.
To me.
I mean, it's a noteworthy fight, yeah. But it's not as big as it would be
across
the pond in England. And then also Saturday we have two cards that'll be going on simultaneously in New York. I think boxing fans really lose out on that aspect. You have one in the Barclays Center, one in the Madison Square Garden. You have which is probably the biggest heavyweight fight on U.S. soil in at least the last 10 to 15 years since Klitschko Lewis.
Wow.
And I think that was 2003.
Mm-hmm.
American, and you have an American-born heavyweight in Deontay Wilder versus Lewis King Kong Ortiz.
Ortiz, yeah.
In the Barclays Center, also.
This fight's supposed to happen a while ago, right?
Yeah, it was supposed to happen a while. It was supposed to happen last year, I believe, around September. But Lewis Ortiz, he tested positive from a banned substance. I think it was a diuretic or something like that. They were undergoing. They were also. I'm sorry, I got a text.
So you good?
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Okay.
It's not anything big.
All right.
So this is a big fight. This is a a risky fight for Deontay Wilder, because Deontay Wilder is currently being, you know, if the stars align, there'll be a all-action heavyweight mega fight against Anthony Joshua. Now, whether that takes place...
Who's Nigerian? Place,
he's not fake Nigerian like
what kind of
no, but you know, that's that you know, whether that takes place in the O2 arena or Wembley Stadium in England, or it takes place in Las Vegas or New York later on that year, this year, that'll be a huge fight for boxing, a huge heavyweight fight. But Deontay, back to Saturday night, Deontay Wilder's a guy, I think, who has like an 89% knockout rate. Big, physical, heavy punching, heavyweight, something that we haven't seen, a true big heavyweight, something we haven't seen in the U.S. in a while. And usually, guys like this excite not just boxing, but pop culture in general.
Yeah, I agree.
So I don't know necessarily why this fight hasn't, you know, I haven't heard a lot of promotion about it and why it hasn't really popped. And, you know, in general, just in general, like sport for sports fans, just in general. But it's going to be an interesting action fight. And also, there's a local connection on that card.
Yeah.
Gary Antoine fights one, you know, younger brother of Gary Russell Jr., Gary Antoine, who we spoke with 2 weeks ago during our field trip.
Our field trip, because, you know. Real dudes do real things.
Yeah, real dudes do real things. He'll be fighting. I don't believe it'll be televised, but he'll be fighting. I think this will be his 12th professional fight.
It's his professional. It's actually he has. I gotta look that up. Yeah, it's four.
It could be. Yeah, I think it's four. I think it's fourth or fifth.
Oh yeah,
professional fight. So that's. You know, a nice local tie into, and then also across town, you'll have Sergey Kovalev, who'll be making his return to the ring. You know, he's been out of the ring.
Oh, he's back.
Yeah,
but after my man, he got that
after
war.
Andre Ward,
he got that
Andre
war beat down.
Had a TKO win against him. He'll be also fighting on HBO. There'll be two light heavyweight championship fights on that card. So. It's just an all-around big sports night on Saturday night, man. You also have Duke, North Carolina. Then you have the NBA feature game. You have Boston versus Houston, which could be a preview of the
NBA fight. That would be his fourth fight.
Gary Antoine would be his fourth fight. Mm-hmm. Probably be another knockout by him.
Yeah, it will.
He looked in peak shape.
I like that kid's mentality. Yeah. I do. I love his kid's mentality. Yeah, I think he's very intelligent. He's a very smart kid. I really
very analytical, very methodical in his thinking.
To be at that age, to be like that, that speaks volumes to the family.
Be very humble, also.
Really, to be honest with you.
So, you know, we won't be there, but we'll be supporting. You know, we'll
be supporting.
Yeah, we'll be
supporting. I told you, we're holding the belts, man. That's going to happen. Holding the belts, dog. I'm gonna be that dude. I'm holding the belt.
So let me ask you, which card are you gonna watch?
I'm gonna watch Deontay Wilder. Deontay Wilder.
Amir
Khan and Kell Brook. Really, I like that. I think they're two good boxers. They're really two good boxers.
Nah, but they're not fighting on Saturday.
Wait, I thought you said they were fighting.
No, they're not fighting. Kell Brook is fighting.
I'm sorry,
you're
talking about setting that up. Sorry, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I like seeing I like Kell Brook though.
Yeah, I think Showtime just. It's going to be a great card because they have Jermell Charlo is going to be on the card. Then also, I think Andre Durrell is also fighting so I think that shows up. Yeah, it's going to be a very solid, entertaining card.
I don't think they did a good job of promoting Danny Garcia's fight against,
Brandon Rios.
Brandon Rios. I don't think they did a good job hyping it because I missed that fight. That's a fight I definitely would have watched.
I watched that fight.
All right. So did you enjoy the fight?
I
like Danny Garcia. One of my favorite current boxers.
Yeah, for while it lasted, it was entertaining. I actually thought that Danny Garcia was going to knock him out
earlier,
but it went 9 rounds. Pretty good fight, one sided for the most part.
Really,
Danny Garcia came out early and established himself.
And Brandon Rios was supposed to be an up and coming boxer not too long ago too.
Yeah, but he had some dedication. Some people will say dedication issues.
Mm. No, but yeah, I'm definitely watching Deontay Wilder. I need him to win, though, because I do want to see him against Anthony Joshua.
That's going to be a huge fight if it's promoted, if it's allowed to, you know, season and marinate, like people like to say, and promote it correctly. This fight is a big fight, which I'm not hearing enough about, which kind of...
It is a big fight, though.
It's disheartening because this is a huge
because he could lose this fight.
Yes.
Because Deontay could really lose this fight.
This is a risky fight. Yeah, I don't really think people know about Luis Ortiz, and he comes from Cuba, and he comes from that storied Cuban boxing program.
The homie's solid. Like, he can get him. He can definitely get him. But it's time for a break, man. The FBI is exposing the NCAA, man. Exposing.
Corruption all around.
They're going ham, man. We'll discuss that after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports Center.
For ages. You dig? Deuces.
It's been through it all, man. Blood, sweat, and tears. Ziggy's dead and shit. The f*** else could happen, yo? I don't think much more, son. I'm up, yo. Yeah, I've seen it all, we've been through it all, yo. That's how I feel right now. Yo, the mother for real, for real.
Queen B, baby.
Trouble.
Lil' Kim. B.I.G.
I'm lying.
Yo, yo. Blowing with busty ass German things, giving the double as I motherfucking claim the bank.
You listen to Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally, Will T. Will T say, raise out as always, right?
As always.
All right.
Y'all water's wet, the sky's blue, and Ray's going to be off the show. Three things you can count on.
Oh, my man. Anyway. Yahoo Sports published documents from the FBI's investigation into corruption in college basketball on Friday. It showed that players from more than 20 of the nation's top programs were implicated in possibly breaking NCAA rules. Your thoughts?
My thoughts is, wake me when you tell me something I don't know.
I know, right? We saw blue chips.
Yeah.
Blue chips, man.
This is what happens. There'll always be a black market for those who have a talent and who aren't fairly compensated for their hard work and labor, when other participants in the market are overly compensated, i.e. coaches and ADs.
Agreed.
What you're seeing is, in my opinion, is you're going to see things are coming to light that I think we most people kind of thought was happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see some interesting signings. You see some people. You see kids from
the DMV area going to Washington.
I wasn't gonna say it, but you said it. You threw it out there to reckless speculation.
You seeing cats go to Kansas State.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's you know, something that always struck me when you see something like that. We can say his name. You mentioned it already. Markelle Fultz.
Yeah, Markelle went to Washington.
Yeah, he went to
Washington. That's one of the teams mentioned, I believe. I think it's one of the teams. Well, I have to check it.
One of the guys. Allegedly.
One of the teams mentioned. Yeah. Not players, but he's one of the team. One of the teams mentioned.
You always see something like that. You're like, damn, how did that connection happen? You
know? But everybody knew anyway. But everybody knew at that time what was going on with that situation.
This is reckless speculation. Yeah. We're speculating at this point.
Let's be real. Washington wasn't no powerhouse. It's Washington.
No.
It's not like going to Kentucky. At least when Kentucky, with their one and done thing, at least you could say it's Kentucky. At least you could say it's a blue blood, right?
Right.
That's at least you could say that. Now, granted, I mean, you're like, wow, Kentucky gets all the best freshmen. You got to think to yourself, like, dang, how is that happening? But at the same time, it's Kentucky. So their name, you can say, you can kind of rationalize and say, well, it's Kentucky, so they can get top-tier talent. They've been getting top-tier talent for a while. Duke, the same way. You can recognize Duke and say they've been getting talent like that.
What's interesting about Duke, and I don't know if anyone – well, no, Wendell Carter.
That's it. He's on the list.
Wendell Carter was on the list. Yeah. But you know what's so interesting about Duke and what Mike Krzyzewski is doing is...
He's phony.
Because, you know, if you remember a couple years ago, he made the statement about...
The one and done.
The one and done. Those aren't the type of guys we recruit. Mm-hmm. They aren't Duke. that's not what Duke does. Mm-hmm. But the last three classes that he's getting, and including the one that's coming up with Zion Williamson yeah. and those guys, all one and done.
He's hilarious. He's hilarious. He's been like Coach K has been phony with it. I mean, again, I'm not knocking it, but I'm not knocking him. I'm knocking him for being hypocritical. That's what I'm knocking him for. But at the end of the day, like, everybody's been doing it. He's probably did it before the whole one and done thing has been thorough. Like, he's I'm sure his organization, that's what it is, has helped a couple kids. Corey Maggette wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer.
this is the thing about Duke. Duke is a private institution. Yeah. So who they allow when, they aren't really. They have a board of trustees, board of trustees who they're accountable to. But in a private institution, I believe there's probably more leeway until who you let in to that private institution, mm-hmm. opposed to a public institution. I don't know for sure. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say
Late James was from like DC, right?
I believe so. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I don't think Nate James was.
Like I said, you're being reckless. Being reckless. Let's wheel it back in.
Let me stop messing with Duke players.
It's just, you know, and if Adidas is implicated, and mm-hmm. then Under Armour and Nike's implicated, it'd be interesting to see how the New York, how the DA is able, you know, is he able to build a racketeering case against Adidas, Nike, and Under Armour? Mm-hmm. And also with the university and the agents, mm-hmm. and, you know, it'll be interesting once everything is fully laid out and documented. It'll mm-hmm. be something that I want to hear about the intricacies of these kind of payment systems of how they had,
oh, it's true.
How they've been paying guys under the table.
Oh, it's true. They got them rolled up and everything. FBI is real, man. They're real. But it looks like the FBI is trying to take down Arizona's coach Sean Miller. Was called
tried to evidently he snitched on himself from what
on tape reported.
Speaking about $100,000 payment for
DeAndre Ayton,
who most likely is going to be the number one pick in the draft. Yeah,
who he nasty. Yeah. I see why you give $100,000. Look, man, I'll be real. Let me keep this 100, man. I talked about blue chips. I have a nephew, you know what I mean? And if he makes it to, you know, playing high, you know, college basketball at the highest level, I'm gonna be the uncle to be like, yo, what you gonna give me?
The NCAA is very corrupt, in my opinion. Yeah. It's a corrupt system, and it's a system that's essentially built on the backs of, even though people say they get scholarships, and I understand, you know, partially how there's parallels to the college scholarship athletic mm-hmm. system to a capitalistic society, right? Mm-hmm. But like I always say, there will always be a black market for guys who don't feel as if they're being fairly compensated for their talent, especially when other participants in the market are fairly and overly compensated. What they do, whereas mm-hmm. the kids who aren't able to get jobs, who aren't able to take even a sandwich from someone.
Which is ridiculous.
But yet, you know, they can lose their eligibility. They're going to continue to find ways to get paid, as they should. Yeah. I believe the college athletes should be paid.
You better give a McDonald's fish sandwich for free.
Fish sandwich, poison?
At least you can do that. At least you can do that tartar sauce is freaking amazing.
I know you're not real Nigerian.
Anyways, we're trying to wrap this show up, man. It's been a pleasure doing the show with you, Will T. We talked great NCAA, FBI probe crap. I say crap because I think the FBI is bull crap, to be honest with you. But, you know, I mean, again, it was great talking to you. Great talking to my man Ed Frankovic. You know, it was a great show, period.
Yeah, it was cool, man. I want to thank Ed Frankovic for taking the time out to speak with us about hockey and giving me a segment off. I really appreciate that. And also, I want to thank George and everyone else, fans. I'm not going to say fans of the show, you're not fans of us,
yeah.
fans of the show
yeah.
who took the time to listen to us. We're just sports fans just like you guys, and it's cool, man. We appreciate it.
Anyway, you've been listening to Urban Sports Time.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
And Megalita's out, big homie. To the swag, pledge allegiance to the swag, pledge allegiance to the swag, pledge allegiance to the swag.